last case of the morning, which is Michael Strickland versus Jeremy Schatz.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Michael Parkinson. I'm an attorney out of Lafayette, Indiana, and I'm here representing the appellant plaintiff in this case, the arrestee Michael Wayne Strickland. This case arises out of the Fourth Amendment excessive use of force used against an arrestee following the rule under Graham versus Connor.
Let me ask you this question. The district court rules in its summary judgment order that Strickland's plea in state court to resisting arrest was fatal, basically, to his excessive force claim. How do you refute that reasoning?
Your Honor, I don't believe that that applies under the Graham versus Connor test. The facts in this case are distinguished because the question is, was the use of force reasonable for that type of force at the time of the arrest? Whether or not he pleaded guilty to resisting, all those facts are undisputed. He was resisting. He fled officers first in an automobile. We don't dispute that the use of a police dog or force by a police dog was reasonable at that time. He fled the vehicle and fled on foot. We don't dispute that the use of a police dog to bite and hold the plaintiff was objectively unreasonable at that time under the Graham standard. He fled into a house. We don't dispute that the use of a dog to bite and hold the Mr. Strickland at that point was unreasonable. What we say is objectively unreasonable, and here's the sole area where we disagree with Honorable Judge Sharp, is after three police officers took Mr. Strickland to the ground, put him face down, held him, all three of them, one on each shoulder and the other behind the two officers, holding him down on his back.
He was still kicking?
He was still kicking, Your Honor. He was resisting at that point.
Now that's not disputed, is it?
That's not disputed.
Because this was a cross motion for summary judgment. So I guess the facts that are in the affidavits are the facts we have to deal with, right?
Yes, Your Honor. I don't think there's any dispute about the facts in this case.
The question is, when he's still down and kicking, it would be unreasonable, I guess, excessive force to basically sit the dog on him to stop him from kicking, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Well, isn't there a disputed fact with respect to how many times the dog bit him? You made a statement just now that there were no disputed facts. Isn't it disputed? As I understood it, he was bitten. The hospital records reflect that he was bitten multiple times, and the officer shot said one time there was a single bite.
There's no dispute, and I believe we conceded this in the district court, that Officer Schatz issued one order to bite. In the process of Mr. Strickland thrashing and the dog maybe adjusting its bite, inflicted multiple wounds. Yes, officer.
So it's the flailing that does the initial.
Officer
multiple bites.
Yeah, Officer Schatz alludes to that in his statement, a attached to his interrogatory, his actual police report, that the injury was made more severe because Mr. Strickland was thrashing. I don't know if the fact that the dog latched on several times is really disputed or not. It's not disputed that shots ordered the dog to bite. There was one order.
That's not responsible for one bite, even though the dog may be responsible for more than one.
We were contending because Officer Schatz continued to observe and did not order the dog to release after the dog, after all this thrashing around, the dog evidently was adjusting its bite on the leg, and Officer Schatz's admission that as Strickland thrashed, the injury was made more severe.
So what's your point? Is it that he should have stopped the dog after he stopped thrashing? Did the dog keep biting after he was... I'm not understanding your...
He didn't stop thrashing, though, did he?
I'm sorry?
He was still thrashing.
He was still thrashing. His legs. Yeah. It's both, Your Honor. We're saying for the dog, for Officer Schatz to have ordered the dog to bite in the first place was objectively unreasonable.
And that's because he was already subdued, except he was thrashing around.
Yes.
Is that your position? He was subdued, he was thrashing around, but he shouldn't have taken that extra step to get the dog to bite him.
Yes, Your Honor. We believe that to set a legal standard, as we think Judge Sharp did in this case, that if a man's down on the ground, is restrained with three officers, and then force is used against that restrained person.
He was not subdued. He was still fighting. He was still pushing. He was still resisting arrest.
It depends how one defines.
Well, I thought you were agreeing to that. He was still resisting arrest and he was bitten.
He was resisting, yes.
So thrashing, hurling himself around, smashing his legs around.
His legs.
Well, he kicked the dog for one thing. He was still not subdued.
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah. I don't know if he actually kicked the dog.
So what would your suggestion have been for them to subdue him when he was thrashing around?
Well, I think it's reasonable for an officer to follow the procedure that I've seen in other cases where the officer simply holds the ankles. This is not a large man. He's about half the weight of any of these officers.
Well, I've seen some little guys beat out a lot of big guys over the years, and the strength of somebody that's mad is incredible. This guy was stiff when he was drunk. But certainly he's had no tendency to be calm, quiet, and go quietly in the night or anything.
Right.
He said, well, at some stage, why should he take a chance of getting hurt just to avoid getting himself kicked while he's reaching for the ankles when he's got the dog there that helps to help out the problem?
Well, Officer Schatz never indicated in any of his statements that he himself was afraid of getting hurt.
No, he didn't, because he didn't reach for grabbing the ankles, but if he was just putting himself in that same spot, if he was reaching for somebody's ankles and he's thrashing around trying to kick somebody, wouldn't you suggest the possibility he might be injured or could have occurred to him? I'm eating you around by the time. No. I get it.
It's possible, yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
It's also possible that the three officers, when they took him to the ground with his arms out, that it might have been better to let the dog bite him and tear him.
Well, what you're talking about is a second guess program. But I need to get into your rebuttal time, and I don't want to do that, so I go into your rebuttal time now.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll conclude with that.
Mr. Bowen.
Please, the court. Mr. Parkinson, my name is Michael Libani, and I represent the appellee, Officer Jeremy Schatz. Officer Schatz is a deputy sheriff of the Elkhart County, Indiana Sheriff's Department. Although the appellant's brief indicated that Judge Sharp erred in for two reasons, getting the law wrong, but also resolving disputed issues of fact. It seems clear now, hearing the argument of Mr. Parkinson, that this is not a case like the Pauley case cited by appellants, that there were disputed facts below and Judge Sharp weighed the evidence. And the material facts are undisputed.
Well, what about this statement by Officer Snyder, who doesn't seems to indicate that he was under control after he, you know, grabbed his left hand from outside his body, put it away, he was cuffed. I mean, there's no mention of a dog in his statement. When did the dog come into the picture, and how do you square it with Snyder's statement?
Snyder gave two statements, as I recall, an affidavit. Officer Snyder's with the Elkhart.
I'm referring to his incident report right after the arrest.
Officer Snyder's with the Elkhart City Police Department. They were assisting Elkhart County in the apprehension. It started as a vehicle chase.
Right.
Officer Holmes, Hashberger, and Snyder, or Officer Holmes, Hashberger, and Schatz were with the Elkhart County Sheriff's Department. So Snyder was assisting. The statements of the officers, including Snyder, indicate that at the tail end of the vehicle chase, Strickland got out of his car and then continued to run. And in fact, Rexo bumped Strickland with his chest, tried to knock him down, and Strickland still wouldn't stop. Rexo is the police dog that's the subject of this dispute. Strickland then runs into the to a house, locks the door behind him. There had been...
By the way, this is a matter of curiosity. Whose house was it?
You know, that it's not revealed in the record as to whether or not... I don't know, Your Honor.
Was this a stranger's house? He just bumped into some house he can't really pass him by?
I don't know whether it was a stranger's
house. Do you know whether it was a stranger's house?
I believe it was the...
Okay, okay. So in some place he may have been in the house without getting knocked down by the owner of the place or anything.
Yeah, let me try to get you a little more focused. Strickland says he was immobilized by the officers and being handcuffed when Schatz commanded Rexo to bite. And when you look at Officer Snyder's incident report, he talks about the fact that he was handcuffed and he makes no mention of the dog in his report. I'm asking you, how do you square that? He doesn't make any reference to the dog. It seems to indicate that they got him under control.
Snyder does state, and I think it's appellant's appendix document 10 in his memo, Snyder does state that Strickland was kicking, thrashing, refusing a command. They had him face down. They drug him out of the bathroom. They had him face down on the floor. He wouldn't get his hands out from under him. So they had three officers trying to pry his hands out from under him. At the same time, he was kicking his legs.
Were they still in the bathroom?
Well, they had just pulled him out of the bathroom and put him on the floor. And he has his hands underneath him, and he's kicking.
Were three officers or four officers there?
There were four officers.
The three of them holding him?
Three of them are trying to hold him and get his hands out from underneath him. And Schatz is around by his feet with Rexo.
Okay, Schatz holding the dog at this point.
Schatz is holding the dog, and there's three officers who are not using armed force at this time. They're wrestling with the guy, trying to get him to get his hands out from underneath him so they could handcuff him. And they had ordered him in the bathroom, show your hands, show your hands. And in the police reports of Snyder and Schatz, it says that he refused that command to show his hands. So at the split second where this is happening, and again, it's not the standard, as the court knows, it's not 20/20 hindsight vision. It's at the split second where this is happening. Three officers are wrestling with a guy who the police report or the medical reports that are part of the appellant's appendix show that it wasn't just alcohol, that it was cannabis, opiates, and cocaine, and another psychoactive substance that I can't pronounce.
I'm sure it was high.
In short, he pled guilty to driving while intoxicated.
Yeah.
at the split second where three officers are wrestling with him, he's thrashing his legs at Schatz, who's holding Rexo, and they're trying to get his hands out from under him. I think it's that split second that we need to focus on, not whether subsequently Rexo bit twice or three times, or whether Rexo was readjusting his grip.
I think the issue is whether he should have ordered him to bite him or not.
But I think the court asked a good question, so what should have Schatz done? I guess Schatz could have stood by and watched the three other officers wrestle and hope that he didn't have something down here. That's why they wanted his hands out, so they could secure him. Obviously, because there was radio traffic earlier that Schatz had heard that there was reaching behind him in the car, so there might have been a fear he had a weapon. And you never know in these situations. Schatz could have stood by and watched the other three officers wrestle. Or Schatz could have told Rexo to sit, and Schatz could have jumped in and had four officers wrestle. Or Schatz could have done, I guess what he did, is have Rexo bite Strickland on the calf, which he did. And Schatz says, then Strickland complied, put his hands around him, and handcuffed him quickly. It's in that split second where Judge Sharp looked at the facts and I think correctly decided that there's really no dispute of material fact. It's material defined by the substantive law, which is not what's going on through Schatz's head. That's not the standard. Or the standard is whether a reasonable officer in these situations have done what Schatz did.
Is it undisputed that they handcuffed him quickly after the bite?
Yes, sir. That's undisputed. And they took him to Elkhart General Hospital.
I know all that, but I mean, I'm talking about right on the spot.
Yes, sir. There is not a dispute of a material fact. It's the question is, did Judge Sharp really get the law wrong? And would a reasonable officer have not done this so the force is deemed excessive? I think looking at what the Graham court said, and to paraphrase Graham, on the calculus of what's reasonable, you must consider that officers are faced with split-second judgment. And you must also consider that he was actively resisting arrest. They didn't know whether or not he had a weapon. As the records show, he was on various substances that probably affected his demeanor, is the best way of putting it. And Schatz had to make a split-second decision as to the best way to get the situation under control immediately. I think Schatz could be commended, and the other officers could be commended, for wrestling with the individual, not using their guns. These are tense situations when you're chasing someone and he runs into a house. We feel that Judge Sharp correctly decided that where the facts are undisputed, that the Fourth Amendment standard was not violated, and that Schatz's actions in having Rexo, one order, Rexo bite, was not unreasonable. In hindsight, could you have think of other things? I think in hindsight you could think of two or three or four other things that Schatz could have done, but that's not the issue. The appellant also mentions in his brief that this was a gratuitous training exercise, but there's no support for that. That's just speculation. And again, the standard is not what motivation Schatz had, what ill will Schatz had, but what it reasonably by an objective standard.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I think we've got a couple minutes if we can use them.
The problem that I'm having here, and the reason it was through, is that there's an assumption of a dog biting a human being in the calf and sinking its teeth into him or her is going to help to subdue somebody.
It goes a long way to slow them down.
Well, in this particular case, Officer Schatz himself says that after the dog bit Mr. Strickland, Mr. Strickland thrashed around all the time.
Caused further damage to himself.
That's Officer Schott's position.
Yeah. So that was your position too in the earlier discussion.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
I thought that was the position you took as well, that after he got bitten, he continued to thrash him, caused the...
Yes.
So you see, it's the opposite position, and it was the accepted position. You know, that's what happened.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah. What is your position as far as after, when the dog bit him at some point, that he did get handcuffed, did whatever, he pulled his hand out from under him and got handcuffed?
Well, the other officers who were in the process of pulling the man's arms out and cuffing him, they say they weren't even aware of the shots ordered the dog to bite. They had no involvement in it. They do not say that because the dog bit, that they got his hands out. I believe the facts show that they pulled his hands out because they were stronger than he was, and there were three of them on top of him. So, I'm worried about the carrying Graham to this extent, because if we say as a matter of law that the jury, this can't go to a jury under these circumstances, well, what about stabbing a man? What about shooting him? What about this?
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thanks for taking the advisement. That completes the arguments for today. There will be a recess until 9:30 a.m.